I said it, Patrick, I said it on debate night. That I don't, as bad as Trump was that night, I don't think there was going to be another presidential debate. Now, as the presidential debate committee is starting to meet and say, we need to change things up so we don't have an absolute embarrassment like that again, Trump is basically throwing a temper tantrum and saying, well, if you change the rules, I'm not going to do another debate. I don't think there's going to be another presidential debate. I really don't think there's going to be another presidential debate. I do believe we're going to have a VP debate, though, and my guess would be Kamala Harris is going to absolutely mop the floor with Mike Pence. If you would like to be there to enjoy that, we are going to be at Crooner's again this upcoming Wednesday. It's an 8 o'clock debate, 7:30, we open the doors. Social distancing, once again, we're doing it like we did last time. Social distancing, enough space between people that we're not going to get too crowded, which means there are limited seats. But we'd love to see you out there. And it just is, it's a lot of fun to be able to be around other people. Everyone told me who is there. It was nice to be in a social environment, even though we were still social distancing. It was nice to be out. If you haven't been out in a while, you want to go out with other progressives and watch this VP debate. Once again, Crooner's on Wednesday. Go to am950radio.com, am950radio.com. A reminder, we will not have tickets available at the door. This is not something you are going to be able to walk up to. We will sell out before we get to that debate next Wednesday. So make sure you go get your tickets and join us as we are looking forward to seeing you out there. Next Wednesday for the beatdown that Kamala Harris will give on Mike Pence. Patrick, how bad do you think Kamala Harris will beat Mike Pence?
It's going to be worse than the Twins getting beat by Astros pitching.
Don't do that. It's too soon.
Well, I'm sad, too. I'm trying to find a little bit of humor.
So let's pour some salt in that wound. There you go. Thanks, Patrick. All right. 952-946-6205. Democrat of the day is looking to become the Democrat representing 33A. Caitlin Cahill is kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign and hoping to pick up Western Hennepin County for the DFL. Caitlin, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure here. I will say I have been in your district a lot in the last few weeks because of my kids are playing high school sports. So because we're in Hopkins, I got to go to Buffalo. I've driven through your district a lot to go up to St. Michael Albertville. And then as well, I came through and we just did a nice, wonderful fall leaf drive. And your district is gorgeous, especially that north side of Lake Minnetonka. That was very pretty.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have quite a unique mix of the lakes in Wayzata and the rural, you know, up in Independence and Greenfield. It's really beautiful out here.
Well, and I will say, there were some people have asked me, I posted a few weeks ago some pictures of an autumn sunset I took. I believe that was the Loretto turnoff as I was heading north. That I just stopped. I said, I got to take a picture of this. It was gorgeous. The rural parts of Hennepin County, they are spectacular this time of year. I encourage everyone to get out. A lot of people will actually get out that way because apple picking, this is the time of year people start heading back out into the country.
Yep, it's our favorite season out here. Come and get your apple donuts.
Oh, Caitlin, you hit me in my wheelhouse. All right, let's introduce yourself to everyone. Who exactly is Caitlin Cahill?
Well, I'm definitely familiar with this area because I grew up here, and that's one of the main reasons I'm running. So I grew up just down the road in Plymouth and graduated from the Wayzata schools. And then right after college, I actually started at the Orto Public Schools as an instructional tech specialist. After doing that for about 10 years, which I absolutely loved, during that time, I also joined the Hennepin County Library Board. So I got my first taste of policymaking at the county level, and I really loved it. And then I left the schools and started my own business, providing technology services to other small businesses. Yeah. Shortly after that, I joined the Maple Plain City Council. So I kind of have floated around the city, the county, and state level government.
And Maple Plain is also a delightfully cute little town. I was out there as well just recently in that very nice little town. What prompted you all of a sudden to say, you know what, I'm going to try for the House seat?
You know, I felt between that my experience with the public schools and the county, I just found that we really, our values out here of, you know, taking care of one another, having high quality education, small businesses, all that really wasn't being represented for us. We were really just having really extreme votes on the other side of things. And so I wanted to be the representative that will actually listen to constituents and stand up for issues and not just be against everything.
Well, and yeah, you are running against one of the more negative Republicans who definitely, I would make a very strong argument. There's at least four or five issues off the top of my head I can think that your opponent goes against your district on just because he's been told to toe the party line. And I don't think that that's good representation, period.
Well, and I think it goes beyond towing the party line. You know, there's lots of different bills that have strong bipartisan support that he's voted against. You know, for example, some of the medical bills, you know, giving people who are diabetic a one-time supply of emergency insulin when they can't afford it. You're literally saving lives. And yet, you know, he chose to vote against that. And that's just, I don't think it goes with the values of our district.
You can't vote against that bill. And we've talked about that a lot on the show. You cannot vote against that bill and then say, but I care about people's health care. That was just, you can't equate that. That was just disgusting. And I'm glad you brought that one up. The district that you're looking to represent, 33A, once again, it really is the entire western side of Hennepin County for the most part. St. Bonifacius, it curves down, gets to St. Bonnie's, goes all the way up Greenfield, goes over to Medina. And then, of course, like you said, it's got that very juxtaposed against the entire northern side of Lake Minnetonka. You know, there are a few really unique elements to that district, which I'd love to get your thoughts on. Namely, let's start off with expansion, because you do have a lot of rural communities out there in that district that aren't looking necessarily to become bedroom communities for the metro area. But at the same time, if you're going to have growth, you have to do it right. And there are plenty of places. Medina is exploding. I mean, you look to the western side of Lake Minnetonka, that's all developed. I remember when that was all farm fields as a kid. It's going to grow one way or the other. How do you address that and make sure that the growth that happens is representative of 33A?
Well, I think there's two different issues here. One is that growth is largely up to your local municipalities. You know, I don't think the state should control, you know, how much growth or demand that there's growth in certain communities. For example, Independence has in their comprehensive plan that they want to stay more rural, and that's different from a community like Wayzata that wants to grow. And so I think giving cities the ability to still control that, you know, is within their best interest. But I think residents also have to realize that, you know, I often get feedback in our small town. They want things like a grocery store. They want things like a chain, you know, fast food shop. You don't get those things without rooftops, because businesses won't consider, you know, setting up shop in the middle of nowhere. So it's a delicate balance. If you want some of those amenities, you might have to grow a little bit.
Yeah, and you bring that up. It's interesting. I was out on Bass Lake Road. Was it Bass Lake Road 101? They got a brand new big old Hy-Vee out there. And, you know, that's exactly right. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's tough, because I've been in plenty of small towns, and, you know, it's hard when you want to maintain that small town business, but you also have that lure of the metro. You know, that's another thing. I mean, it's definitely a fine balance on a beam that you have to go down to make sure that you're helping make sure those communities make the right decisions so they don't get priced out, or one large box store runs out half the businesses within their own downtown.
Yep. And I think one thing that is high on my priority list that can help with that is making sure that we have reliable broadband access out here.
Yes.
Because that gives our small businesses that even footing with those big corporations.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up for this reason. This is one of those issues that I don't think there's a lot of people in the metro core that understand. There's a reason I harp on we need broadband from Crane Lake down to Albert Lee. We need to have it statewide. Is that it does not, you know, whether it's education, business, healthcare, there are so many uses for it. And it's not like it's great out to St. Cloud. There are plenty of areas of Hennepin County where broadband is desperately needed right now, because whether it's business growth, whether it's education, being sure kids can do their homework, whether it's convenience for medical information for your local doctor, we need to have that, and it is just not something that's been developed, even though Republicans have said, oh, trust us, we'll get there and develop it eventually.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing is that the legislature actually looked at that a few years back and had a plan for it and how much it would cost, And they voted to fund just a small portion of it, which was largely in the metro area. So it really didn't do much good for the entire state.
No, as a matter of fact, I remember that. It was the Republicans said we have to do this. The Democrats, the DFL, came up with $120 million. Here's what we'll need to do. This will be our first step. Republicans said, we didn't think it would be that expensive. So they said, oh, we'll only spend like $10 million on it. And you're right. It was just a patchwork, almost like their donors got broadband, but no one else did. It's a difficult juncture because, once again, you get on, you know, when you look at business and you want to encourage, we're capitalists, we want to encourage business growth. They're already there on the north shore of Lake Minnetonka. I mean, I like I said, I drove out there. It's gorgeous. It's very developed. It's got a great quality of life there. But within your same district, only a few miles away, you know, you can't get it. You have to go to a certain side of your house to try to get a signal so you can search the internet. I mean, it is a real paradox that you have there. And just once again, highlighting the failure Republicans have not helped your district.
Yep. And, you know, back to capitalism and competition, part of the reason why some of the broadband out here isn't accessible is partly because of price. You could maybe get that high speed, but you're paying several hundred dollars a month for it, which not all our families can afford.
No, and you're looking at farmers' margins there. They're just not there. Once again, Caitlin Cahill is joining us right now, Democrat of the day, 33A House seat. Let's talk a little bit about health care as well. More on that as you brought that up. Obviously, let's talk how it's affecting your campaign. I'm pretty sure you're not doing too much door knocking right now, like most DFL candidates. How have you been able to move forward in the age of the pandemic with the campaign?
Well, you know, it's been interesting because in some respects it has been difficult because of that nature of, we know door knocking is the most effective way to meet people and have those great individual conversations. So that's been a little bit of a struggle, but I think as everyone has adapted to the pandemic and being quarantined early in the spring, you know, most people learned how to do a video call. And so I think we find that it's really no excuse not to be available to people because we're just, you know, a listening session online away. We're just a Facebook Live away or just a phone call away. So we've really tried to adapt to that and make sure we have a mix of just lots of opportunities for people to log on and, you know, share their feelings, reach out via phone. And, you know, I welcome anyone to call me directly.
What has been, from when you're talking to the constituents of 33A, what has been the feedback you've gotten in regards to coronavirus and healthcare as a whole? Are they, you know, it's interesting because you have a lot of people in your district who've got those really good healthcare plans, but I imagine you got a lot of people in your district that don't have healthcare at all. And obviously, this is a very serious crisis, which, you know, you shouldn't have to get bankrupted just because you got sick.
You know, it's been an interesting reaction. I think because we're a little further out, it took a while for people to realize, to really accept that it was real, unless they were working in healthcare and saw it day to day. You know, but more recently, our caseload, we just had one of our schools, you know, have to shut down because a certain number of staff members were infected and they didn't have enough staff members. So I think now people are starting to really feel the impacts of it out here. And I know people who've lost family members. So it took a little longer, but I think people are starting to realize and take it seriously now. That it is a real thing and can really affect them, if not their loved ones.
This is a seat we can pick up. If you go out to this district 33A, once again, it's just west Medina, the north side of Lake Minnetonka, all the way out to the Hennepin County border, down to St. Bonnie's. You see that the Republicans are very concerned about this race. They're trying to spend a lot of money to hold on to this race. Caitlin, this is the time I tell everyone, help your local Democrat, by all means, help the local DFLer. But if you're in a relatively safe district, we need to get volunteers and donations just out to the western side of Hennepin County. This is not a far walk, folks. You can get out there. We have bike trails. You can bike out there, for goodness sake. Go out, volunteer, donate. It's Cahill for House, correct?
Yep, cahillforhouse.com.
Cahill for House, CahillForHouse.com. Volunteer, donate, and I'll tell you what, making a donation or trying to help volunteer a little bit in this day and age, it's perfect because that district is just gorgeous right now with the fall colors. So get out to 33A and help out Caitlin Cahill. Caitlin, I appreciate the time today. Thank you very much. All my best in your campaign.
Thank you so much for having me again.
My pleasure. Caitlin Cahill, Democrat of the Day, Minnesota House Race 33A. And a quick little note, Patrick, if I can. I have had a person say, you don't ever let Republicans on. Ha, please welcome aboard. I would love to have a Republican of the day. Oh, I've got questions already for you. They're written down. I'm ready to go. If you want to be Republican of the day, come on down. I have no problem with that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. I got the Minnesota coronavirus update and Jack Rice joining us to talk some legal issues coming up here at the bottom of the hour. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Food Freedom Radio is generously supported by Seward Co-op, now offering online ordering and pickup at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Shop online at seward.coop/curbside and then pay over the phone. Just call when you arrive at the store for pickup. It's that easy and safe. Offering dedicated pickup times for our first responders, seniors, and those with compromised immune systems from 1 to 2 p.m. Start your shopping at seward.coop/curbside. Stay safe.
Warner's Deli is celebrating its 66th anniversary with a great sale. I promise you'll save money on the appliances you choose. Get free installation on KitchenAid and Beko dishwashers and Bosch cooking pairs. Save hundreds on an LG French door refrigerator or laundry pair. Warner's Deli feels honored to be the appliance specialist of more than 350,000 Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa homeowners and contractors. Take advantage of unbeatable appliance savings and service for a limited time during Warner's Deli's 66th anniversary sale.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil. Today, with the uncertainty going on, we're all looking to find a way to make our dollar go further. That's why I suggest your next vehicle is a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I have a newer Toyota, I also have a 2006 Sienna, and it still runs great. 14 years and 170,000 miles later. I love Toyotas, and they're made to last, and they have never let me down. And with maintenance from Rudy Luther, your vehicle will take care of you and save even more money with the Luther Advantage card with your vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota at 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Caitlin Cahill, nice. Let's pick up 33A. We need to do that indeed. trust me, the people that represent the Republicans that are in 33 that are in office, they are just speed bumps. They are in the way of progress. We need to turn that over to a DFL district. And considering how many people are absentee voting, things are looking good. 952-946-6205. Go help out Caitlin Cahill if you can. I want to get to the Minnesota coronavirus update, but I want to actually share, and I can't share too much, and I want to be careful here. I have known 3 people within close relation, not family member per se, but 3 people who have died of coronavirus. Neighbor across the street had a sister pass away. I had a friend whose father lives up in northern Minnesota. He died. And now I have a family member's coworker, a former boss of theirs, who just passed away yesterday. I can't. If you want to know why this year sucks, Trump is bad. And I mean, seriously, Trump is in any given year, you know, he would be bad enough. But honestly, I'm seeing death everywhere because of coronavirus. And no one seems to care. No one seems to care. And it's one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen. Let me give you an example of how this is just such an... That's the part which is just, it makes Trump look bad. Well, then coronavirus doesn't exist. Ugh. The report today shows that we have now crossed 100,000 lab-confirmed infections of coronavirus in the state of Minnesota. 100,000. We're at 100,200 infections in the state of Minnesota. What is 100,000 in Minnesota? 100,000 would be the entire population of the following cities: Glencoe, Laverne, Fairmont, Brainerd, Crookston, Fergus Falls, Albert Lea, Bemidji, and Alexandria. Every one of those towns combined, their populations, you get 100,000 people. Now, let's just take one. I'll take Bemidji. Let's just say today we got word the entire city of Bemidji is sick. Not only would Governor Wall swoop into action and send in every health agency he could to try to figure out what the heck is going on. Not only would you know, the brave men and women that work in medical industry and first responders get up there to try to help these people out. But when the Republicans and the conservatives in that area, who usually scream at the Democrats in the metro area about, you liberals, you leave us alone. You just stay down there and you keep to your business. They would be all of a sudden saying, hey, Twin Cities, send us anything you can, please. And I know you fools like to think that we spend all of our money on abortions and gay parades. But the reality is, you'd be shocked. Most of the Twin Cities would quickly get money together and get it up to Bemidji to try to help these people. They would. They would. Because we care about you. We're trying to save people's lives, for God's sakes. That's one of the towns. 100,000 people would be the entire population, once again, of Glencoe, Laverne, Fairmont, Brainerd, Crookston, Fergus Falls, Albert Lea, Bemidji, and Alexandria. That's 100,000 people. 100,000 people. But unless, you know, most of the people probably in Bemidji don't even care. They don't even care because they just don't look at this as a serious problem. Meanwhile, Trump keeps having his super spreader events. St. Louis County has had the most, they've had half of their cases in the last month ever since Trump and his clown show started coming into town trying to do these quick little rallies at the airport. And by the way, it should be mentioned, they're actually canceling one. Now, the president is saying they're apparently canceled because of a business conflict, but it sounds like the governor of Wisconsin and the mayor of La Crosse basically said, please don't come here. You know, it's not safe. There are a surge in coronavirus cases down there. The director of the La Crosse airport said, though, the event was canceled due to a legal issue, not concerns of the coronavirus. Well, it should have been canceled because of the coronavirus, you idiot. I don't quite understand the hill you're trying to die on of ignorance during a pandemic. We've gotten to the point. We have lost over 10,000 people in the state of Minnesota. We have lost over 10,000 people. And I know you probably know of someone who has died. And the dichotomy of the individual that's got to be going on one side saying, feel sorry for Phil, but he died of a myth. What? What are you saying? This is, and you know, we just heard Caitlin Cahill talk about one of the schools had to shut down because too many of the teachers got sick. You're getting a surge going on right now. In total, the state has now reported 2,000. Now reported 2,049 COVID deaths. I said 10,000. It's 2,000. I want to clarify that really quick. 2,049 coronavirus deaths, 100,200 infections, including many people who have recovered. 89,000 people have recovered, which is good. But still, that means there are 10,000 sick people right now in the state. And how many people have don't know they are sick? The health department's new method of reporting COVID-19 hospitalizations showed a rising trend in patients newly admitted to due to severe illness. The latest state data showed that at least 356 people were admitted to hospitals for COVID-19 in the seven-day period ending on Sunday. That's the highest seven-day total since June 1st. The health department previously reported a total number of Minnesotans hospitalized in any state due to COVID-19, but switched last week to reporting the number of Minnesotans newly admitted to hospitals. The dashboard shows 1,069 of 1,222 ICU beds immediately available in Minnesota hospitals that are currently filled. So basically, now once again, that does not mean coronavirus. That's ICU beds can be filled. You could have a heart attack. That's an ICU bed. You could have, you know, emergency surgery or a car accident. That's an ICU bed. But 1,069 of the 1,222 ICU beds are currently filled. That's an increase for earlier in the summer. And we do have some backup plans, which is good, but still, this is getting worse. And like I said, I just found out today another friend has lost someone to coronavirus. I don't know. Would you care? If you didn't live in Glencoe or Laverne or Fairmont or Brainerd or Crookston or Fergus Falls or Albert Lea or Bemidji or Alexandria, the case of 100,000 cases of coronavirus, if you didn't live in any of those areas, would you care that Glencoe and Laverne and Fairmont and Brainerd and Crookston and Fergus Falls and Albert Lea and Bemidji and Alexandria were all sick completely, every person in those towns? Or would you deny it just because you didn't want to make Trump look bad? Grow up. Will you please just grow up and let's take this seriously? That's what's making me sad, is there's death everywhere and we don't seem to care. As a society, we just don't seem to care. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do return, Jack Rice will join us. We'll talk some legal issues, including Breonna Taylor, as well as also the game plan of the federal government and the Republicans in holding all these seats in the Congress. It is in the judicial branch, the Congress doing that for them. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Blaisdell in Minneapolis has two great options for weddings. The Blaisdell Parlor provides an intimate ceremony space with beautiful greenery surrounding the fireplace. Or for those preferring an outdoor ceremony, the Blaisdell Courtyard, offering a breathtaking space to say I do, surrounded by loved ones and a stunning landscape. If you or a family member was planning on postponing a wedding due to COVID-19, well, this is your chance to make the marriage official while still planning for a reception at a later date. More information and available dates at theblaisdell.com.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's S-C-H-R-O-M-E-N-Law.com.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. I'm part of an all-woman financial advisor team with combined experience of over 40 years. Whether it's leaving something for your loved ones, enjoying your own retirement, or giving to a favorite charity, we'll help you plan, and there's no better time than right now. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, it's the Matt McNeil Show. And once again, I do want to, you just heard Brett talk about the VP debate at Crooners. I'm going to repeat once again, we will not have tickets available at the door. We will sell out. We have very limited space. Make sure you get your tickets and get them at am950radio.com, am950radio.com. The debate watching party for the VP debate, which, by the way, is kind of, once again, looking like it will be the last of the debates. Trump's already throwing a fit at any idea of changing the rules to stop him from being a petulant man-child. So they might not have any more presidential debates. If you want to see the VP debate, Crooners, join us. That's coming up next Wednesday, 7:30. We open the doors. 8 o'clock is the debate. And once again, am950radio.com to get your tickets. Jack Rice is our judicial and intelligence expert. You can find all your Jack Rice needs at jackrice.net. That's jackrice.net. He's kind enough today to join us about and talk about some judicial issues in America today. Jack, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Thing to watch. If anybody has watched Kamala Harris, yes, and watched what she did in the Kavanaugh hearings, her ability to cross-examine, her ability to work these kinds of issues, Pence should be petrified. He truly should be.
Well, Pence is, he really got beat pretty bad by Kaine in 2016. I mean, he does that. And I can say this. He does that radio host thing where he just tries to, hey, I'm going to make it look like I'm smart, but I'm not really. I kind of skim the surface like a skipping rock. And if you don't know your everything that's going on, and that's a guy that just does not know how things work and how policies work and how, or he's just a guy that goes out there and tries to skip across the top of the water, Kamala Harris is going to destroy him.
Yeah, well, not only is she going to do that, part of the issue is that he has to run on the president's record. And when you realize some of the inconsistencies and craziness of it with somebody who doesn't even get it and probably doesn't have the ability to yell real loud, I guess he could ask his wife. She probably has to be on the stage because he can't be on there just with Senator Harris by himself, because I understand he doesn't do that sort of thing. So there you go.
Mother will be on the wings.
Mother will be in the wing, or right next to the podium.
But we holding his hand on the stage, that would be special. I want to bring up Breonna Taylor, if you don't mind me bringing this up, because I am perplexed. This DA, they did a grand jury. They did not file charges almost immediately afterwards. And by the way, they should have filed charges. Just on what we've known, there should have been charges filed. But almost immediately after they did not prosecute, they came back and they said the evidence of the gunshot, one of the things they said that justified shooting her as many times as they said her boyfriend shot one of the other cops, that's not true. The ballistics show that he was shot by another police officer, so he didn't shoot anyone. Now you hear the local postmaster, the police were kept saying there's drugs that are being sent to her address and being picked up by a known drug carrier. And the postmaster saying, no, it's not. There are no drugs going to that address. We do not have anything like that. And not only did the postmaster tell the police department in Louisville this, they told a neighboring police department after they were told no, they asked a neighboring police department to ask the postmaster, and he told them no. So their entire argument of why they raided the apartment is a fraud. Your thoughts as a legal expert on this, what the heck is going on?
There is a whole series of issues that have to be addressed. In the first place, this question of the search warrant, any kind of a search warrant. And you're right, when in fact what we find was there was misinformation provided to the judge about actually drugs being at the residence. That's number one. Number two, there was a specific individual tied to those issues, and it was neither Ms. Taylor or the man that was in the house with her. And in fact, that individual was in custody, and the police knew it. at the time that they raided this residence. So you have that piece, which brings the entire question of the warrant into question. So we have that piece. But there's a bigger question that happens in a case like this, Matt, and that has to do with something called a no-knock search warrant. The concept of what a no-knock search warrant is, for people who haven't sort of followed this up, and I have just because I've had to deal with them for years, is the idea that says that the police have the right to go into certain houses if they think, number one, that drugs are going to be destroyed if you knock and say, I'm the police, I'm here to come in and talk to you, or if they think that there's somebody in there that could be dangerous. In this particular case, highlighting what you just said, there wasn't drugs that were going in there, number one. And number two, the person they were looking for was already in police custody. The logic of actually having a no-knock search warrant that wasn't stale, so in other words, wouldn't be applicable anymore, is something that simply did not exist. But if you think about no-knock search warrants in general, the problem that you have is this. Let's imagine what happens when you have three people who decide they're going to break down the front door of a house and go into that house in plain clothes, and that's what these men did. Now, anybody, and I repeat, anybody who's in bed sleeping, and you hear somebody break down your front door and they come in, what do you think you have the right to do? You have the right to defend yourself. That's really the bottom line, because I think anybody would be scared for their life. The problem is what it does is this is extraordinarily dangerous for the people who are inside that house, number one, any house. And it's also extraordinarily dangerous if you're a police officer who was told to do this. So first of all, there's a huge question on why they did it in the first place, but there's also that broader question of why no-knock search warrants should ever be issued, because it really does open this up for a situation where police officers trying to do their job, who could literally and legitimately be killed on the doorstep by somebody who says, I have no idea who these people were, they broke down my front door, so I killed all of them. That's a real problem.
Well, and I don't think they've got an officially a stand your ground law, but they have like a modified version of that in Kentucky, don't they? So, I mean, a no-knock search warrant and a stand your ground law, those would seem to be two very incompatible things, because how do you deviate and delineate between the two where the crime actually begins? I mean, under what you just said, yeah, they should be able to shoot. You can't just scream, I'm a cop, I'm a cop, I'm a cop. And after you kick someone's door in, and if you've not committed a crime, you know that the police shouldn't be breaking into your house. You know, it just seems to me like this. My only hope, I guess, is this: is can the federal government, if Biden wins, can the federal government next year bring civil rights charges against these officers and arrest them under those guises, or is this going to be too late?
No, they can.
They can. All right.
They absolutely can, because there's always two things that are going on. There's always what happens in terms of state law, and in fact what the feds have decided that they can do in a case like this. Now, when it comes to this issue of a castle doctrine, the thing about defending yourself and this idea of standing your ground, it's always been kind of a slippery slope when you're standing out in the street and you go out and you do something that actually can cause a problem. And then when somebody shoots back, you quote unquote defend yourself. In fact, that's really the argument that 17-year-old had, who's actually been indicted on three different counts of first-degree murder. So that really isn't the case. But what does make it different is when you are in your own home and it's in the middle of the night and you have people break down your front door, I think anybody and everybody who would look at just those facts alone, what they're going to do is they're going to say, sure, I'm petrified for my life. Sure, I'm concerned that somebody is going to hurt me. Sure, I have the right to shoot because I'm afraid that somebody is going to kill me because they're coming into my house in the middle of the night and they weren't invited. Mm-hmm. That is really the problem. That's the inconsistency with a no-knock search warrant under almost every conceivable circumstance. And by the way, it's changed dramatically. I can take you back to the 80s. In the 80s, there were around 1,500 of these things issued nationwide. And it's changed dramatically. The numbers are in excess of 50,000 now. I think what you get are judges and others who are saying, better safe than sorry. Might as well give them that power, too. Well, that's a real problem.
Well, and if you needed more reason to vote for Joe Biden, there you go right there. It's we might actually get justice for Breonna Taylor. Let's turn towards what Mitch McConnell has done. And I'll quote John Oliver from last week tonight that, you know, when he says it is, with the victory of Trump and the way things are right now, the Republicans won. They have dramatically altered the judiciary branch for decades. They are about to place a 6 conservative judge on the Supreme Court. And likely not only are we going to say goodbye to Roe v. Wade, we'll also say goodbye to the Affordable Care Act and numerous other standards of legislation. We really are at a change here. Talk a little bit about that from what you see. And, you know, what are our options? I mean, if there are any over the next few decades outside of, because we know that every time the Republicans disagree with a bill that's going to get passed, they're going to file a lawsuit and hope the Supreme Court overturns it.
Affordable Care Act. Roe v. Wade, abortion, voting rights, climate change, Americans with discrimination, all sorts of issues are in play right now. If we look at what President Trump has done, he's looking at putting his third justice on the Supreme Court. That would put it at 6. Understand the sway that the court has had and the swing that this court has gone through in the last 10 or 15 years anyway. To call it right-wing now really doesn't do it justice. If you look at the likes of some of the most liberal justices we've had in the last 15 years, I'm thinking of somebody like John Paul Stevens. John Paul Stevens was considered the left of the left. But you know what? 20 years ago, he was a moderate. And if you think about what that means, it's an enormous swing. And we can talk about Amy Coney Barrett. We can do that. But I think what we need to do is think deeper than that. If we look at the number of judges, and these are federal judges, that this president has put on the bench, he has crossed over the 200 mark. Now, what that really means is he has filled every single circuit court vacancy in the United States. And if we look at who he has put on the bench, and that's what's significant, a lot of these people, by the way, 7 in 10, to give you a notion of who they are, 7 in 10 are white men. Not that anybody would be shocked by that. Mm. But the part that makes it even more disturbing is that they're typically 30s to 40s in terms of age. So what we're talking about is people who have lifetime appointments that can sit on the bench for 30 or 40 years. That's what Donald Trump has done. And let's be clear. The people that he's putting on the bench aren't just conservative like you might have seen during George Bush's time or in George Bush the father's time. We're talking about a Donald Trumpian conservative, which is something completely different than that. Even those who are very public, like Amy Coney Barrett, when she talked about the Chief Justice and about some of the things she didn't think he was going far enough on, that's not a problem anymore because you have a president and you have the majority in the Senate, which allows them to do just about anything they want, and the Democrats can't do anything about it. That is where we sit. And for those people who said, what's the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Rodham Clinton? Guess what? Right there. And we can talk about it in 30 years. And this is why.
Well, yeah, we can look back at all those people that decided to sit out or vote third party or, you know, say, I'll vote for Trump. We'll be able to point at them quite a bit. And I've always said it, and I said this the other day, all those people back in 2016 that said, I would rather see the House burn down and we can rebuild it. Well, the House is burned down. The Republicans are standing by with more gasoline and fires. So the minute you start putting a board with a nail, they're going to burn that down. So good luck. Good thinking. That really smart.
Yeah, we can sit around and we can talk about why they were wrong as they continue to pass legislation as they like and push down legislation that they don't. And if we think about what this means to gerrymandering and the ability for people to vote, all of these land ultimately in the Supreme Court because they're done at the state level and frequently at the state Supreme Court level, drops them into the lap of the U.S. Supreme Court, who can then turn around and say, you know what? We're simply going to defer to the states to do anything that they want. We have already seen over and over and over again, many states frequently in the South have spent the last 200 years trying to find ways to alienate, diminish, and push into the fringes and ultimately disappear those people of color who actually simply wanted to do one fundamental American right, and that is to vote.
Jack, I'm glad you're here because as a lawyer, you do occasionally get in front of judges. We do have a common problem that happens every election cycle, especially in the presidential election cycles, is that people fail to turn over that ballot and realize there are a ton of judicial races out there. Some of them, in some years, many of them are unopposed. But there are always some races, including we got a Supreme Court race with Justice Paul Thiessen. He's up for re-election. That do matter here. Talk a little bit about that because, I mean, it is very important that you know we have the ability to choose the judges and the justices that are representing and going to be hearing cases in Minnesota.
Now, isn't it hard? It really is. And I feel, because I feel the same thing too. How many times do you walk into these things and you walk in to vote and you'll think, I can't decide on that issue because I'm not qualified. And so therefore what you do is you either leave it blank or you go for whatever. And sometimes you want this inclination sometimes to go for the person who's not the incumbent. You want to go for somebody else. But the problem is there are those situations where there are people who that are that disturbing that you have to really be careful on because I think it's really important. And in fact, one of those races, this is my opinion, people go where they will. If we look at the Supreme Court and we look at Paul Thiessen in particular, that race, and we look at his challenger in this case, this is the perennial challenger. She regularly challenges and is challenged again and again. And based upon my experience, my thought, and this is my opinion alone, is that I think Paul will be a far superior judge when it comes to these issues as a justice on the Court of Appeals and what he has done in the past, his ability to actually listen, understand, analyze, and apply the law is exactly as it should be. And I think that's what we need on the Supremes, certainly in Minnesota, nationally too, but at least on that issue for sure.
I will say this about Paul Thiessen's opponent, Michelle McDonald. The lawyers board has suggested suspending her law license. So, you know, that's what could possibly get on the Minnesota Supreme Court if you don't understand what exactly you're voting for. So once again, educate yourself there. And like you said, I mean, I've talked to, and okay, there's going to be a political element to it. I mean, Paul Thiessen was the Speaker of the House. He's the Democratic leader in the House. I've known him there, but in this judicial race is not political. But one of the things I've known about the guy is that he is always an honest guy that evaluates cases individually. He does not go in with an agenda. He is exactly the kind of person that you need to have up on that court. And I'll be the first to say, I'm not the kind of guy that should go to the Supreme Court. I would let my biases in. These are unique individuals that are supposed to be neutral. I mean, I don't know how much you've interacted with Paul Thiessen, Justice Thiessen, if to be correct. But I don't know how much you've just. But he just is. He approaches this the way you want a justice to approach law.
Well, and again, I would agree with you. If we look at what we're trying to accomplish and what the Supreme Court is honestly supposed to do, he brings a benefit to it in the sense that it's not just the legal side of this. There is also the political realities of this. And so he brings that experience. You have a legislative experience because so much of the time what you're doing is you're trying to interpret what the legislature was doing. Now, under those circumstances where he was involved, he would probably have to recuse himself, and that's understandable. Mm-hmm. But the benefit to understanding what it is that was driving the legislature is something that he has absolutely firsthand experience in. And so to have that, to bring that to the table, gives him another arrow in his quiver, which we all need. And in this particular case, it's required. And so I think one of the benefits that he has is exactly that.
JackRice.net, JackRice.net for all your Jack Rice needs. Jack, it's actually, I love talking with you because sometimes I talk intelligence community, sometimes we talk judicial. It's always informative. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jack Rice, kind enough to join us today. Let's take our final break. Come on back, do some dancing. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Kamala Harris debates Trump enabler Mike Pence on Wednesday, and we'd like you to join us for our vice presidential debate watch party at Crooner's Supper Club. Crooner's has an outdoor stage with a large TV screen and great sound. Plus, Wednesday's forecast looks great as an added bonus. Space is very limited, though, because of safety, so you have to order your tickets now at am950radio.com, as we will not have any available at the door. Again, that's our vice presidential debate watch party Wednesday at Crooner's off Moore Lake and Highway 65. Tickets at am950radio.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in Better Futures Minnesota.com.
Crooners Supper Club is leading the Twin Cities back to live performances this summer with two new distance-safe outdoor dinner show options. The popular Lakeside Drive-In concerts will continue with new shows added throughout the summer. And not to be outdone, Crooners is also introducing a new Lakeside Cafe in its outdoor patio space designed to offer a more intimate, distance-safe outdoor dinner show experience. So head to Crooners Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 this summer for some delicious food and great music. Make your reservations now at croonersmn.com.
By the way, one last quick little story here that I thought was funny. If you haven't seen it, go watch the reaction of Melania Trump to Donald when he comes on the when she comes on the stage after the debate versus Dr. Jill Biden and Joe Biden. Yeah, I still think that she's not forgiven him for the Stormy Daniels thing. I'm going to go out and take a shot in the dark on that one. The cold winter is coming. All right, enough of me. Let's go to it. Wilson Pickett, this is the land of 1,000 dances. This takes us out today. You have a good one. Till tomorrow, see ya.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. One time. Nah, nah, nah.